Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
So excited to share about one of Vital Protein's new products. It is Vital Protein's new main attraction, and that is main spelled M-A-N-E, because it is their Vital Protein's hair complex. You can turn bad hair days into a thing of the past thanks to Vital Protein's hair complex, which promotes hair health through a combination of scientifically backed, high-quality ingredients. Vital Protein's hair complex contains ingredients clinically shown to help grow thicker and fuller hair in as little as 3 months. Unlike other hair growth solutions, Vital Protein's hair complex is designed to be consumed once daily in a powder format, making it easy to incorporate into your existing routine. Simply add one serving of the unflavored complex to your favorite hot or cold beverage and enjoy. This is so exciting. We actually got it ourselves and are excited to try it out. You can go down to the link in the show notes and use code OPTIMAL15 to get 15% off site-wide, including this hair complex. So head to the link in the show notes. Make sure you use code OPTIMAL15 at checkout to get that 15% discount.
So we're talking about stretching today. More specifically, what is the difference between doing mobility and flexibility? And I think this is such a big topic and something I've talked about on our webinar, actually, with Gen Health, because I want people to understand. I mean, typically, when someone is telling me that they do mobility, they're showing me some passive stretches that they're doing. So I'm like, okay, so you're doing flexibility.
Yeah. Oh, I do this one, touch my toes, or I sit in this pigeon, or I do this or that. And that is
what a lot of people...
No, it's not bad. And we don't want to say that flexibility or just passive stretching is bad. It's a huge component of mobility. And we see mobility as kind of this more overarching thing that includes a lot of other steps. Passive stretching, which is what a lot of people see as flexibility, is one step and a very important one at that.
Exactly. So we want to help you understand, okay, what's the difference between them and when is it most appropriate for me to start to integrate it based on my body's needs? And I think that's what's most important is understanding when should you be doing passive stretching versus active mobility. And that's the main difference. Interrupting really quickly just to talk about when supplementation is really needed. And this is, for me, has been crucial, not only in trying to conceive, and this is when I found needed actually, because they have their egg quality support and I was super interested in that. But what I also loved is that they have men's support as well. So they have the sperm support plus, they have the men's multivitamins. And I loved that it wasn't just about the women's journey in trying to conceive, because it's not, and it's not talked about enough. It is the men's role as well in how that baby is going to be made and what's going to happen. And I just loved that we looked at using support for both of our bodies in coming into this new pregnancy. And then when it came into pregnancy, I love that they have a variety of supplementation so that it's not only in capsule form, but you can also take the prenatals in powder if you're like, I cannot take another pill, or I know friends who just like could not swallow pills. So they would just use the powder form, which I think is brilliant. I have no problem with it, but I just love the variety because especially say you don't like eggs or you're not getting eggs in the morning, you can't stand them. All of a sudden, I kind of went from that. I like would have my huge egg breakfast to really not wanting them at all. So they have the choline support. They have iron support. They have support for any nutrients that you're really needing to help support your body. So especially when you're trying to conceive, pregnant, postpartum, or really beyond, they have supplementation for so much to really help to support your body. And that's what supplementation is. It's to supplement, it's to help support. And in first trimester, I literally only wanted bagels, like bagels, pizza, burgers. Like I just wanted all of the carbs. So I know I wasn't getting the most nutrient rich diet. So I needed the support. And it is so crucial to me, especially just having lost a baby and knowing that there's so little that I can control, but I can control what I put in my body and what I trust within my body. And after I asked my RD as well, after I found needed, I just felt so supported. And especially knowing that Needed is recommended and used by more than 4,000 women health experts, from nutritionists to midwives, functional medicine doctors, and OBGYNs, I just love that they're providing more than just amazing products. They're advocating for better maternal and infant health outcomes and doing groundbreaking women's health research through their clinical research arm, Needed Labs, which is just amazing. So if you haven't, I just highly recommend go check out Needed. Head over to thisisneeded.com and use code OPTIMAL. This is going to get you 20% off of your first order. That's THISISNEEDED.com. Use code OPTIMAL, and that's going to get you 20% off your first order.
So to kind of define the difference a little bit, we see mobility as the ability to actively control your joints through the full range of motion that you have, where flexibility is that passive ability to go into a range of motion. Mm-hmm. So an example that we will often talk about is for the hamstrings. If you're doing some sort of forward fold or folding towards your toes, you're passively going into that stretch because you're using the ground to press your legs up as you lean your body forward. That's a passive stretch, versus if you lay on your back and try to keep your knee straight and lift your leg as far as you can go, that's more showing you what kind of active hamstring mobility you have, because you're actively bringing that leg into that range of motion as far as you can.
Or even challenging it more and standing.
And doing it standing.
And trying to lift your leg
straight and lifting it up. And where we think mobility is the end goal, where we should get to, is that's a lot more functional. If we have this range of motion, we want to be able to control our body through it.
Exactly. I mean, it's going to help if you're suddenly falling, if you're needing to run after something quickly, if you step out to the side. If you don't have that active ability to control that range of motion within a muscle or a joint, this is where oftentimes we'll see people quickly strain or pull muscles or get injured, because we haven't prepared the body to handle load in these various quick ranges, right? So being able to understand how to work on that is something that could be really effective.
It's funny, and I think of this just recently. I've thought about almost exactly this without like realizing it, but when I run on this trail with our dog, mm-hmm. there's a lot of sections that are downhill and it's really gravelly and it's really loose. And often I will be, don't tell Jen, but I'll be running and my foot will hit a spot and slide. Mm-hmm. And if I didn't have active hamstring control, eccentric control, because my leg is sliding out, my hamstring is lengthening, and I'm needing to slow down and control my body, that's actually a position a lot of people hurt their hamstring in, have a hamstring strain, tear. But because it's something that I work on, that active, loaded, eccentric hamstring control, my body's a little bit more prepared, where foot slides, no problem. I wait until my foot gathers its control. My hamstring does the work to basically control my whole body weight running downhill on a single limb. Again, it's like, it's where my physical therapy and biomechanics brain starts nerding out, because those are the things you prepare yourself for in the gym.
Yeah.
Running downhill on loose gravel.
It sounds weird to say, but yeah, I mean, you're helping prepare your body for a life circumstance, and that's what we're really wanting to do.
That's now what I train for. I don't train so I can do deadlifts in the gym. I train so I can feel safe and comfortable running on relatively risky trails with my dog.
Yeah. Now, to break down a little bit more specifically, what does mobility do? What does it help with? Some key points that, you know, I think is really important. It helps to improve your joint range of motion. So not only, you know, where flexibility is more so going to help to improve that overall ability for the muscle to move around a joint, where you're now being able to control that full range of motion within a joint, and improves your joint sense or proprioception as to where that limb is in space when we're moving or rotating about the joint, because now we're using control and strength around that joint, not just kind of throwing it wherever. It improves muscular balance around a joint to help prevent one muscle group from taking over during a movement, and it improves overall control and stability of the joint, which is especially important for those with hypermobile joints. And this is mm-hmm. where, you know, that comparison, especially of mobility versus flexibility, becomes really important, because
people with hypermobility are very flexible.
Yes, they're already very flexible.
They don't often have good controlled mobility. And that's where, when people say, oh, I don't need to do mobility, like, well, no, you don't need to do the passive stretching part. You have beautiful, incredible range of motion in most of your joints. Where we can work is the control. Mm-hmm. And here's where we'll go through kind of the four main steps of mobility, or what we think people should do to gain full controlled mobility in their joints. Step number one, passive stretching, yes. which is that
flexibility
that we've been talking about, and is really an important, especially for somebody who may have different tightnesses like me. I need to spend a lot of time in these passive stretches so that my body feels comfortable going into more range of motion. This is where a couple episodes ago we talked about the muscle spindles and the Golgi mm-hmm. tendons. This is where you're talking to those Golgi tendon organs that are in our muscle tendons, saying, hey, it's okay to let this muscle relax a little bit more. And that's why during passive stretching, we want to stay in these passive stretches for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, especially research done in these areas, say up to 2 minutes is a good minimum
right.
to sit in this stretch, because it's such a neurologically driven process that by the end of that 2 minutes, there's no way your Golgi tendons and your muscles will have been able to ignore, and they will definitely have allowed you to gain more range of motion.
Because that's the main thing with flexibility. We're looking at it, you know, improving the muscle's ability to tolerate more stretch. If you were ever to be in an operating room and you're completely out, your nervous system is not part of the picture, and they're just wanting to test range of motion for something, all of a sudden you're like a super bendy, flexy person.
And it's kind of weird to see, because I've been in rooms where right. people have been under anesthesia during hip replacements
yes.
and they take the person's leg and basically put it up over their shoulder.
Right.
And I'm like, this is like an 80-year-old woman. Like, what the?
Right. And when she is conscious and her nervous system is working with her muscles, that would never be able to happen. No. Right. So, but when we add in more time, like Dom said, spending more time in this, we're able to tolerate going into more of that stretch. So our nerves communicate back to our brain, which indicates, you know, a new range of motion is safe. And so over time, the brain reduces the need to protect or restrict that range of mm-hmm. motion. And so we can gain more range of motion. It decreases fascial muscle and some tendon stiffness immediately after the stretch. It adds tensile load into a muscle, similar to strength training. So there's actually some really cool studies on this. You know, if you were to hold for 30 to 60 minutes for a stretch, you can actually see some similar tendon thickening, similar to strength training. Yeah. Which is pretty, I mean, I don't know who's holding for, you know, an hour, but, you know, and it also reduces maximal contractile force and power production immediately after stretching. And this is only why we want to say, okay, am I using stretching and passive mobility prior to a workout? Immediately prior to a workout, I probably don't want to just be like using a strap and stretching my hamstring and then going and deadlifting. That's going to reduce my power production and my force within my muscles.
Yeah. And knowing when to use each of these is always one of the most important parts of the question too.
Yes.
Where passive stretching might best be used at the end of a workout to
right.
help relax and down regulate, which is kind of similar to our warm-up cool down plan.
Yeah.
Which, if people haven't seen, there's a 1 week warm-up cool down plan that we've added into the Gen Health membership. It is a great way to get a better understanding of what an effective warm-up looks like, and then a great way to cool down and down-regulate your system. You can basically do this whole plan for free. If you sign up for your free week trial, you can go through all of these exercises. They're specifically geared for an upper body lift mm-hmm. or a lower body lift or
a full body lift
or cardio.
Yeah.
And there's multiple examples of each of the lifting ones. There's one that is meant for more cardio or aerobic activity. Yeah. If you want to check that out, you can go down to the link in the show notes, get signed up for your free week trial. But enough of that, on to the next step of
the warm-up within it.
Yeah, the warm-up. The next step is getting more into active mobility. Mm-hmm. So that's essentially what we were talking about before, where even if you're just laying on your back, it's actively bringing that leg up and doing the hamstring stretch without using anything to pull passively. Mm-hmm. There's tons of different examples of this where you can even do it like a lateral lunge where you're putting load through your groin mm-hmm. and then coming back up. Again, you're kind of using gravity in the crown to get into the stretch, but you're still needing to activate to get back out of it.
Yeah. I mean, essentially, we're trying to say, okay, I just passively stretched into this range of motion. So maybe I did just use a strap to kind of downregulate my system. I used my breath to help find more range, tolerate more stretch within my muscle. And now I'm going to kick that strap off to the side and I'm going to just lift my leg actively a few times. Or I'm going to stand and try to, or sit up and lift my leg actively. Now I'm going to turn on my hip flexors. I'm going to explore how that muscle can move with activating the other side. So now I'm activating my quad and my hip flexor to allow my hamstring to have more space, and I'm actively controlling that range. What this really helps with is it going to ensure, okay, I'm trying to make sure that I'm not overstretching a muscle now at this point, right? I'm actively going into the range available for my hip, my shoulder, my upper back, whatever it is. And I'm making sure that I'm just not overstretching it. And that's what really people fall into, especially if you're already hypermobile. I love yoga because maybe you're already a hypermobile person. It's so easy for you to go into these stretches and really, you know, deepen into some of these poses. However, we could be pushing the limit of how much we're stretching and cause some overstretching.
If it's just passive, you're not supporting, you may not be supporting in that range.
And yes.
A good example is if you realize your active mobility is significantly less than your passive mobility.
Yeah.
Then it might not be super healthy for you to hang out at the end of those passive stretches, because that's telling us something. If I can get into a passive hamstring stretch where I'm laying down on my legs, but I can't actively lift my hamstring, you know, past 90 degrees if I'm laying on my back, that tells us that your hip might not be fully supported when you're in that end range stretch. And that's mm-hmm. where some people start getting joint issues, because they just hold those end range positions.
Exactly. And I know, like, Jill Miller was someone.
Yeah, she talks about it a lot.
Yeah, she's hypermobile. She would put herself in really extreme poses, and it's she's had to pay for it down the road. So it's just, we want to be very cautious of, yes, I want to use passive stretching and flexibility. Maybe it feels good in my body, but we need to add in an active component.
Yeah. And then the next step, which is working on eccentric loading. I mentioned it earlier in my trail running example, mm-hmm. but eccentric essentially means the lengthening portion. So
from a bicep curl.
Yeah, bicep curl is easy to understand.
I'm holding a weight, and as my arm is coming out, I'm still holding the weight. So I'm still like activating that muscle, but now it's lengthening through that range.
Yeah, so strengthening as we're lengthening. And the reason that we want to focus on this first is, one, we're stronger, our muscle can tend to take more load during the eccentric phase, and also we tend to gain strength faster, or another way of saying that is we cause a little bit more micro damage to the muscle, which mm-hmm. essentially then makes it heal to be stronger. So we tend to gain strength faster if we focus a little more on this eccentric phase of the movement. So with our hamstrings, that's like during a straight leg deadlift, when you're doing the hinge and folding forward, your hamstrings are lengthening, but you might have some weight. So you're strengthening while lengthening during that slow eccentric phase.
And talking about, you know, getting your brain to tolerate more stretch, like this is where we really gain that mobility is mm-hmm. now I'm not only just laying on the ground or lifting my leg or doing, now I'm actually putting load into that stretched muscle. Because if we think about it, for our examples of passive hamstring stretch and an active hamstring stretch, The active hamstring stretch, though my hamstring is lengthening, there's no load into it because all the muscle contraction and force is in my hip, my hip flexor and my quad. So the front of my leg rather than the back of my leg. But now with eccentric mobility, or using that deadlift example, right, I'm going to be putting load and making my hamstring work as it's lengthening, as I'm dropping that weight slowly to the ground, keeping relatively, you know, straighter legs on like a Romanian deadlift or a stiff leg deadlift, I'm now working and loading that muscle as it's strengthening or as it's lengthening. This is where I get that better connection to my brain to say it is safe to go down into this range. I'm going to let go a little bit more. We're strong, we're resilient in this range of motion. So I'm going to allow us to increase that range of motion in general. So this is where we get a really good impact in our range of motion with resilience to really, like, this is where for me, it's most impactful to kind of see how we can try to reduce our risk of injury the most is building that resilience through that length.
And this eccentric training is something that is a commonplace and is, you see it in all sorts of rehab protocols because it is one of the best ways to strengthen up areas that we may be rehabbing that we may have injured previously to increase their ability to take that load, whether it's Achilles tendonitis or rehabbing from an Achilles rupture or working on tennis or golf elbow. Like, eccentric strength is hot and people use it in almost all rehab protocols. So that's why we only think it's fair that we just build it into our general mobility principles anyway.
Right. And then going on to the last area that we kind of look at mobility, which is active loaded mobility. So, I mean, it's going to kind of play a role in all of them besides passive mobility, but now I'm, you know, putting some weight on it. So, I mean, it's essentially strength training. This is now going to challenge my muscles and joints in not only improving how we move through a particular motion, but how to control it through that motion and how to control the external load beyond just my body weight, right? So,
and that's where we start to train for those variable things that happen in life that we may not have expected.
Better carryover.
The quick step that you need to take to the side because you lost your footing on loose ground, or you slide on ice, but you're able to catch yourself and your quads can take that because of the strength training you've been doing. I mean, so many examples of this from a regular squat to doing a lateral lunge or like a Cossack squat for your groin holding weight. Really any loaded strength exercise is going to be taking certain muscle groups through the lengthening and shortening process. And that's where we start to, one, notice the benefit from those three previous steps we took. Some of these strength exercises might feel a lot freer, easier to get into the deep range and like, oh, wow, I couldn't squat this way before because you didn't maybe work on the passive and the active range of motion before you started trying to load it all up.
Exactly. I mean, just think about reaching overhead or putting, you know, a bag over in the overhead department when we're loading a plane. Like, a lot of people get, they feel like their shoulders are hurting or they need help. They can't do it because we're not using these four steps to progressively then add that load to get overhead and better move in the joints. Like, we need all four steps. I don't think that, you know, it's mobility versus flexibility. I think it's using them as needed for your body. Maybe if you're more hypermobile, you probably don't need more of the passive stretching unless you want to get out of some muscle guarding and a lot of protection that's happening within the body. There's still a place for it. It's just then how are we actively loading the body after that? And I think that's so important. And when we're looking at like some of the studies and stuff, like how long should we hold a passive stretch? We kind of talked about this a little bit. Right. Majority of studies use a protocol of like 4 to 6 sets. 30 to 45 seconds done 4 to 6 times per week or 6 to 12 weeks. Improvements were found in both short-term and long-term range of motion and increases in muscle thickness and increases in muscle range by like 22 to 23%. But studies with longer holds, up to an hour per session done 7 times a week at an 8 to 10 intensity for 6 weeks, showed changes in muscle thickness by 15%, range of motion increases by 27%, and increases in strength by nearly 17%. Increases in strength by doing an hour of stretching. So higher intensity stretching also leads to an increased fascicle length. However, what I'm taking from both of these is like, let's not just live in the 30 to 45 second range if we really want to get the most out of our passive stretching. Let's go more to that minute to 2 minutes. We're probably not going to be doing something for an hour. Yeah,
you don't need an hour mobility routine in general, but to be able to
just
focus on
one exercise, yeah, one stretch.
But just to be able to focus on that mobility in a few muscle groups for 90 seconds to 2 minutes a day is going to make a profound difference. Like you said, the research supports that the holding stretches for those lengths give you the most benefit. But ultimately, there's the four-step process, doing your passive stretching, then moving into your active mobility, working on eccentric control, the strength while lengthening. And then number four is loaded up through the eccentric and then the concentric contraction of the muscle. So through the whole range of motion, are we able to load it and feel safe and secure?
Right, which is basically your strength training process now, right? So I think when it comes to using this better, if you want to do flexibility, say you're super stressed, you're super tense, you've been sitting all day long, you just want to feel like you're getting a little bit of a stretch and you're kind of relaxing in your body. You've been super stressed and tense all day. I would say it's okay. If you still want to use that before a workout, it is okay to do it for a little bit. But immediately following that, it is important to not just jump into your workout. If you're going to do passive stretching and just holding positions passively, then you need to add an active or eccentric component into your warm up prior to your workout, because that's going to reduce any of the negative side effects that would have happened from static stretching right into a workout. As long as you do an active component prior to your workout, you are fine.
Yeah. And then on the flip side, especially if you've had that long day, using that passive stretching, as we mentioned before, after the workout to downregulate and get the body to relax a little bit. And like I mentioned earlier, we have the warm-up cool-down plan in Gen Health that you can literally do the whole plan during your free week trial. So go down to the link in the show notes, sign up for that, get access for a full week to all of the plans as a part of the Gen Health membership, which there are 12 plans now. Mm-hmm. Check out that warm-up cool-down plan. And if you're just more interested specifically in mobility, we have the Mobility Foundations course that basically takes you through all four of the steps we just outlined over 4 weeks, going through 5 different areas in the body that people specifically tend to be really restricted. If you want to check out the Mobility Foundations course, you can use code OPTIMAL20 to get an extra bonus discount for our podcast audience.
Ooh, only, that's a big discount.
Yeah, big discount. So check out Mobility Foundations. That's just gen.health/foundations. And of course, reach out if you have any other questions about any of the programs, or if you have any questions about mobility where you might want to be focused, reach out to us at gen@gen.health, and we will try to get answers back to your questions. Thanks for listening into another Pearl. If you know anybody who just struggles, they're that person who's always stiff, who doesn't know what to do for mobility or their flexibility, send them this episode. Hopefully it will help them out in their journey. Remember, we have that warm up and cool down challenge. Now you can get the whole week free during your free trial. Check out the link down in the show notes. If you haven't, please consider leaving a rating and review of our podcast on your favorite podcasting platform. That just helps out so much. And of course, we will see you next time on the Optimal Body Podcast.